Welcome, everyone. This is Sasha, SashaTalks.com. Today, we're going to take a look into a topic that builds upon something that I touched upon in the prior segment, the lack of self-regulation and how the lack of emotional regulation, and there's different types of lack of regulation that could compromise the well-being of people. And before I present the topic, keep in mind that all content on Sasha Talks adheres to the terms of service and disclaimers of SashaTalks.com. Why are you so mad? We're going to take a topical look into anger management. Over the course of my career path and just living life, I have crossed paths with different types of people from different walks of life who have exhibited different forms of lack of emotional self-regulation and how it has compromised their quality of life, their well-being. It could be their relationships, the chances of them being gainfully employed, their relationship with life. And I thought, why not take a look into anger? Because it is one of those topics, if you don't really coexist with that situation, you may actually keep it far, far, far away from you, which is not a bad thing. Anger also happens to be one of the human emotions. Encountering anger is not a bad thing, but when it is left unregulated and it takes a life of its own, it could turn people's lives upside down 180 degrees and nothing good comes out of it. And there's a lot of wisdom shared about anger in terms of business, self-development, professional development, the Bible itself, spirituality. It is an emotion. So what is anger? And after speaking to a few medical professionals, researching it myself, the general definition, and keep in mind this is a very topical overview, anger is a common and intense emotion characterized by feelings of being annoyed, frustrated, engaging in hostility, and there's a form of antagonism that breeds within the person who feels this intense emotion towards a person, a situation. It could be an event unfolding in your life. It is also categorized as a natural response to perceived threats, a perception of an injustice, or a frustration itself. Now, how does anger impact humans on different levels? Physiologically, we know that if anger is not a fleeting experience for you and it is part of your inner nature and your lifestyle, you may encounter heart problem that goes beyond your heart rate going up. Consistently, there's a pattern to it. Your blood pressure gets compromised. There's muscle tension. And one thing people don't understand is that there are so many emotions that we hold on within our physical body. Put the heart aside and the mind aside. The physical body holds on to different forms of emotions. It could be anger, it could be anxiety, fear, joy. All of those things emanate from some part of our body. And what ends up happening when you're holding on to too much anger? You're going to breed physiological symptoms that could eventually turn into illness. Now, that sounds so extreme that I was angry over somebody getting my name wrong. That's an example. And somebody might get all pent up over it. Another person might completely be unbothered by that and go happy, go lucky in their life. There are many different types of personalities out there. Some people love being in the state of being angry. That's their normal. And then there are those who acknowledge their emotion and they let it go. Now, going back to how anger could impact humans on different levels, some people physiologically may also take on some type of behavior to cope with it. It might be, let's say, emotional eating. Some people, to offset their anger, they might resort to, let's say, drinking. These are hypotheticals. It is not true of every individual that encounters anger. We all do. We're humans. Maybe the occurrence of, for example, me engaging in anger would be close to 1% or less. But to be able to differentiate between, there's a difference between being angry and mad versus disappointed. I, for example, happen to be someone who can speak to being disappointed. Now, emotionally, you're going to feel the pangs of being annoyed, irritated. You might even be feeling so much resentment. And when I come across potential clients that are in that phase of resentment in the context of their situation, they are angry. And I already know that when people are angry, most of them are so closed off mentally, in terms of listening, emotionally, of letting anything in, that 99% of the time they don't qualify because they're not in the state of receiving. They are just in the state of, they want those feelings to percolate, and that's where they thrive. But some people eventually ride out that wave and they wake up and they want to be feeling something different. And then there are the extreme ends of anger, which is rage. Then there's the cognitive impact, the thoughts of retaliation, blaming someone else. It's not your fault. There are many cases where people who come angry, they are the source of the anger, and they're blaming everyone in their life but themselves for taking accountability. And if you don't take accountability, you are not going to make any progress moving forward. And then there are those who just have perceived injustices. Keep in mind, perception is unique. What you feel is what you feel. What I feel is what I feel. What that stranger down the block feels, it's what they feel. Perception may have overlap, but what another person tells you to feel is not the same thing as what you feel. Keep that in mind. And behaviorally, there are people who engage in very aggressive actions, the shouting, the yelling, the arguing. Some people resort to isolation. Now let's take a step back. With all this anger, where is it coming from? Underneath that anger is hurt, or hurts, plural. And underneath those hurts are expectations. Where did those expectations come from? Underneath those expectations are needs. Whether or not those needs and expectations were met or not, and or somehow they evolve into hurts when those expectations are not met. Those expectations can come from within you, they could come from outside of you, they could be projected onto you from society. But it's pretty clear that there's some form of hurt, or hurts, plural. And small things add up. And for some people, it does catapult into the point of anger. And one line I use in business, or at least that's where it's my line, when I'm dealing with mediation cases or those very sensitive situations where you have exercised the end of the rope to help a group of people or a person, and I have to let them know even good people have their limits. And it's a good thing. To be a good person, you should have boundaries and you should have limits. Being a martyr, there's no reward for being a martyr, especially when people turn into doormats. Because if you turn into a doormat, sooner or later, you will be the one with your needs that are not met. You will be the one with your expectations that came out of thin air that will not be met. And over time, you are the creator of your own hurt. And when those hurts keep on building, everyone has a limit. It may possibly come packaged in the form of anger. So think about it. Underneath that anger are hurts. Underneath those hurts are expectations. Underneath those expectations, it goes back to being human and having need. Keep in mind, if you are of sound mind and health, that is a blessing itself. You are responsible for taking care of your own needs. If not, there are many avenues of seeking out the resources and guidance to help you build a prosperous life of your own. Now, in some cases, anger can be a motivator. It could motivate you to address challenges in your life, to stand up for yourself, or even make positive changes. There are a handful of people that I've had the privilege of meeting in person through Sasha Talks who have shared their day-to-day life conditions where there was one aspect of their life that needed attention, and they had reached the point where they could no longer move forward and they needed to change the condition, whether they were working a career that made them very unhappy. It was very financially rewarding, but it was not helping them thrive as a person. And it's not because the money is a bad thing or a good thing. The money was a great tool, but they did not have the bandwidth to go create the life that they wanted. So having everything they need materialistically, but they weren't feeding other parts of their life. It got to a point some people got frustrated. Some just got angry and did something great with their life by changing the course and coming out even more prosperous and happier. And they understood that they are the source of their happiness. If you happen to be in a relationship and you're not content, now that is a very broad comment I made, so I'm going to be more specific. If you are in a very toxic relationship and you've done everything that you can do, and because relationships involve at least one other human being, and the other person or persons are not pulling their weight, you might reach a point of frustration, but frustration does not equal anger. Those two are still separate lanes with possible overlap. You want to stand up for yourself and you want to change your life for the better. Now, what causes anger? Now, here's an example of external triggers of anger. There are people who get very caught up and frustrated with heavy traffic. I've seen some unfortunate cases of road rage play out in major cities on highways, and that's nothing to look forward to. Some people automatically are offended and hurt when plans are made and they get canceled. Someone is being rude. People don't realize how easily they give away their power to let other things outside of them dictate their happiness, the quality of their day. It might be the weather, it might be some stranger who may have passed a comment. Someone being rude, somebody else projecting their burdens onto you, and all of a sudden you take it on, not even paying attention to regulating your thoughts, what you listen to, what you feel, what you do. Sometimes it is your internal triggers that make you angry. It could be your own thoughts, your interpretations of life around you, or you give a lot of bandwidth to your past experiences that you automatically are replaying it on a loop and responding to life in front of you based off what happened to you in the past. You become a prisoner in your mind. Now, how can anger manifest and take form? There are physiological changes that take place. I gave a few examples of your heart rate going up, blood pressure, adrenaline. And then there are behavioral changes that could be some people raise their voice, they start yelling. You might want to get into a physical fight, which I do not recommend. Some people become more agitated. When people are in a state of anger, they are very likely to engage in impulsive behaviors, say things and do things that you cannot take back. And cognitively, when it comes to your mind, you may be more negative, more critical, more judgmental. And one thing I've noticed is that when things are not going well in your life or the life of people around you, they start becoming even more critical of people in life around them, nitpicking gazillions of things that are wrong with that one person or things around them. They're pointing all these fingers outwards, but they're not pointing those fingers inwards to take a look in the mirror and get to the bottom of what is causing that. Pain plays out in very different ways. I have seen it, and I guess past tense, I could even speak to it. It's remarkable. You don't know how the pendulum will swing and where the puck will land, that you have to pay attention to your thoughts. You have to pay attention to your speech, have to pay attention to your actions, because the only person that can regulate you is you. And it's pretty clear that life is a one-way street for us. Life is finite, and you want to do the best you can with your time. And I know it is much easier said than done, because when you are in a state of anger, rationalizing with any angry person, you don't get far with them, because most angry people just want that perceived injustice or perceived wrong to be fixed. And the thing about fixing is that things break in life, things get fixed. People do not break. People may get compromised at times, but people need healing. People don't need to be fixed. And most angry people who go around, they are very keen on quote unquote fixing people around them when it is them who need healing. And they're not going to fix people because people cannot be fixed. People can heal. So oftentimes when people are engaging in speech and there's a lot of possible venom coming out, you already know that their heart is compromised, because the words are technically a reflection of the heart. I'm not saying you're going to have a walk in the park every day, but anger is an emotion And we're looking at it more from an aerial view at the moment. There are different ways how anger is expressed. Some people are assertive about it, where they could calmly and respectfully address the issue at hand and have a conversation. They're civilized enough to take that path. And then there are those who are passive aggressive, where it will be through engaging in actions that they undermine and frustrate other people in the process. They don't address it head on. They'll just navigate through some crazy maze of a loop and take other people for a ride. And if those around them are mature, they are not going to engage. And then there is the aggressive anger, where people express themselves through verbal and physical aggression, potentially harming themselves and others. I have worked with clients in the past who have ended up compromising their careers, their relationships, losing money. Most of it was a byproduct of impulsive behaviors. Not that they were proud of it, but just because you could emotionally justify a behavior, it does not make it right. Keep that in mind. There are angry people who take it too far to the point where they might be in handcuffs, and you're not going to go before a judge and say, "Well, I could emotionally justify I was angry, so technically I'm innocent." So while anger is a normal emotion, how you express it and manage it is crucial because uncontrolled anger can impact relationships, health, and your overall well-being. And one thing about angry people is that if that is their inner nature and their norm, their baseline, over a period of time as they age, it may start to show. Some angry people show and they age way differently than those that just treat anger as a fleeting common emotion. And for others, it breeds in their energy. It just reeks. Doesn't matter how sweet their words are, you know there's some anger in them. Not some, there's just a lot of anger, like tucked away underneath the carpet. Now, where does anger stem from? According to Harvard Medical Health, they claim anger emerges when you feel threatened emotionally, physically, financially. The root of many angry feelings is a sense of powerlessness that you might not be able to change the situation. You didn't do something maybe you knew that you should have done, but typically it has to do with the sense of being powerlessness. When we are unable to correct or improve a situation, for example, a traffic jam, a job layoff, a relationship breakup, perhaps you got diagnosed with a chronic illness. All of these things can possibly breed emotions in a person and eventually, if not regulated, could lead to anger. Anger is also linked to long-held feelings associated with bullying, trauma, people who may be neglected, abuse, being rejected. Whether you feel you're rejected by life or rejected by people or things that you desire, discrimination, there are different types of struggles that serve as barriers, and when we perceive it to be an injustice or unfair or it's a mistake, whatever your perception is, if it is against you and you feel you are not able to correct it, it can contribute to breeding anger. Now, according to mentalhealth.com, pain itself isn't enough to cause anger. Anger mixed with some anger can create anger. Anger needs to be paired up with something to create anger. It can't just pop up out of nowhere. Now, social emotions are considered when you're angry and it's targeted at someone, yourself, or something. A substitute emotion is considered when you feel angry instead of pain. So the anger serves as a substitute for you truly dealing with the pain of the hurt that is lurking within you, whether that hurt is a disappointment due to your own lifestyle choices, or that hurt is coexisting with a situation outside of you, whether it involves a person or life around you. Now, what is the payoff for feeling angry instead of dealing with your hurt head on? It serves as a distraction and it's also a form of protection for some people. It's easier to resort to feeling angry and protecting yourself than actually dealing with the challenge underneath. Now, the thing about anger is that anger can snowball into more anger, and that is where we need to be careful. Why do you need to manage your anger? This goes back to anger management. The first time I heard about anger management, I said to myself, there's nothing to be proud about managing anger. Then again, there are people who seek out treatment for anger management, and I commend them for it because one way or the other, they either ended up in anger management because it was mandated due to a commitment that they have, or they want to better their life and understand what is going on, how can they work towards a healthier, viable solution? Manage your overall health because it does impact your physical body, your mental health, your emotional health. Some people go out and work out. It's a form of stress management and also releasing energy. There's wisdom to keeping anger in check from a faith-based perspective and a spiritual perspective. I recall in one of the Bible studies, it was discussed that anger and God do not reside in the same room. A person of faith out there may be wondering, didn't God create anger? The thing about anger is it can lead people to self-destruct and destruct their environment because there's a lot that plays out in anger. Anything can be said and done. You could be a straight shooter, but you can't ever get back what you did or the words you said. It's like a tube of toothpaste. Once you push it out, you cannot put it back in. The wisdom to keep your anger in check has to do with impacting your thoughts, your speech, your actions, and this is the part, the consequences that follow what you did or said in that moment of anger. Some people may go, well, I didn't do anything that would have hurt other people. Sometimes it might not be a direct impact, but if you already let the whole world know of how you are in a state of anger, we're dealing with a landmine. And if somebody cannot self-regulate or emotionally regulate at the right time and place, that is a huge gamble for those who are investing in you. And when I say investing, it doesn't have to necessarily have to do with money. It has to do with them putting their faith in you, their trust in you. They're not looking for perfection, but they are looking for effort. Why do you need to manage anger? Improve the quality of your relationships. There is a person that I crossed paths with many, many, many years ago who had told me as a social worker, they would work with underprivileged youth and help them channel their anger into very productive outcomes, helping them get to the root cause of their anger issues. Because if it starts out at a very young age, for example, chances are high that these young souls are taking on the burdens of the world, and they might not be exposed to the right tools, people, and environment to channel these emotions. And eventually, it does impact your relationships, whether you're a young, angry person or you are a more elderly, angry person. Anger is a human emotion. People of all ages can coexist with them. When you are healthy, you are a healthy contributor in your society. You want to aim for harmonious relationships. That doesn't mean that there won't be differences or difference in opinions, or you may not be disappointed, but overall, you want to improve the baseline of your relationships. And as I said earlier, because you can emotionally justify a negative behavior, it doesn't make it right. Because there's a lot of bad behaviors we could justify in the heat of the moment because we are ticked off, just not happy campers. Now, channeling it well, it will remove the complications due to some people are angry and anger runs genetically from one generation to another, not passed on to every family member. But some individuals have been tested medically, not self-tested in the world where people self-diagnose. Socioculturally speaking, anger may be an emotion that is frowned upon. So you suppress it, suppress it, suppress it. Act like you don't ever get angry. Now, we do know that everything we shrug underneath the rug eventually will come to light. So instead of anger, they might just skip the part of feeling the anger and get right to the action. Now, how do you manage the anger? According to the American Psychological Association, I like their line, control anger before it controls you. The goal of anger management is to reduce emotional feelings and physiological arousal that comes with the anger. You have to learn how to control yourself because you can't control life around you. And if you can't control life around you, life is going to control you. And anger happens to be a common emotion as part of the package of life we take on. Now, there are different types of techniques that people can consider, and it also helps you out physiologically. Breathing. There are breathing apps out there that do a wonderful job to help you relax, to help you sleep, for meditation. The overall goal would be to promote relaxation within you. Because remember, when you're in a state of anger, chances of you thinking straight are close to nil. Not many people are going to rationalize with you because you're not going to be in a state to rationalize, regardless of what people say. A lot of people could talk a good game, but until you end up in that circumstance, there are higher chances of things going wrong than right. Some people may take on talk therapy if they have a long-term pattern of engaging in angry behaviors and angry speech, and it's a lifestyle that they want to divorce from. Talking through it with someone that you trust. It doesn't have to be a medical provider or a therapist. Everybody's different, just in the times that we live in. But there are many different avenues. One size does not fit all. You have to work with what your personality, comfort level, preferences are, and resources. Not everything requires money to seek a solution. Sometimes the solution is within you. It comes down to being silent and being more discerning of how you welcome people in your space. How do you spend your time? I don't want to say spend, you invest your time. Who are the people that you're investing in? What is the environment that you're around? What are you listening to? What are you allowing in your body? All those little things do matter. There's also a different type of therapy called cognitive restructuring. It has to do with how to create better forming thoughts, how to self-regulate your speech so you are not speaking in words of doubt and negativity, and that you are taking on healthy, life-giving language. And in the midst of all of this that I shared, I'm not saying deny life and do not be angry. That is not the solution either. But it has to do with, are you paying attention to your emotions? Are they more positive day to day, or are they more negative? Because the more negative you deal with, the more closed off you become mentally, emotionally, and you may not recognize this, but what we feel and what we think does impact our body. Our body is either flowing forward with life or it is resisting. And when there is too much resistance and negative emotions that we start absorbing without regulating and paying attention to release it, it starts playing out in aches and pains. And sometimes it might be an illness. And then for other people, it might be chronic. There's another way of taking a look at anger, how to lighten up. There's a difference between taking your work seriously and taking yourself seriously. Some people have a sense of humor, and then there are those who don't. I am yet to see people who coexist with chronic anger who have a sense of humor. Maybe I haven't crossed paths with those individuals, but then again, I don't create bandwidth for those type of behaviors, so I would not know much. I did talk about changing your environment, whether it's from changing your job that breeds anger in you, or possibly changing relationships that are of your choosing, where you need to remove yourself from that environment, because either you are becoming a better human being or you are just regressing as a person. And the good news is that even though life does not stay neutral for too long, the lines of neutrality do not exist for too long. Either you're moving forward or you're rolling backward. The good news is there is a solution, and it's never too late to make that decision to do better because you do deserve a better quality of life. At the same time, you have to be part of that solution. If you're not part of the solution, then it's pretty clear you're part of the problem. You might not be the direct part of the problem, but you are enabling some part of your dilemma. So it's one or the other. One thing that anger does is it does promote self-awareness. You gain a deeper understanding of your emotions, your beliefs, and your values. And the thing is, whatever values and beliefs you took on as a child, they will be refined over the course of you living. And if you are actively living and paying attention and taking on new experiences and lessons, it is okay to refine your belief systems. And one other thing that anger can do for the better is that you stand up for what you believe in. You stand up for your well-being, your treatment. And I'm talking about that through the lens of humanity, not social justice. We're looking at the human condition today. Sometimes anger can be a wake-up call for you, love. You're not happy with something. There has to be something better. And it could fuel you to take on positive thoughts and positive planning and positive action. But remember, all types of change, they start from within you, and it has to be a conscious change that you're doing it for yourself and you are consistent in your self-development. So the action items for people listening today who want to navigate and understand anger better, especially those who may deal with chronic anger or those who have fleeting moments of anger, whether you're dealing with it actively or it was in the past and you want to work on prevention. Remember, you cannot prevent anything 100%. Identify the things that trigger you that could lead to making you angry. Is it people? Is it speech? Is it things that you hear? If it's something that, let's say, for example, you're big on social media and you come across certain types of topics and information, stop going to that social media. Reframe your thoughts, which comes down to think healthier, be better, instead of the negative stuff and the doubts. You need to start sweeping the doubts out of your mind. And when you goes out of your mind, out of your heart. Another thing is learn how to develop problem-solving skills, because anger is a byproduct of hurt. Hurt is the byproduct of expectations, and expectations are a byproduct of needs that have gone unmet. Whatever needs you have, or whatever challenges you have, take ownership, take control, and go out and find the solutions. Because when you are in a state of feeling powerlessness, or when you feel threatened because somebody else might have more leverage than you or an upper hand, having healthier problem-solving skills can offset those moments where you feel powerlessness. And finally, you are not alone on the planet. You are not alone on a local level or a global level. There is different forms of community support that could help you out in guiding you, educating you, and helping you navigate through your personal challenges, whether they are emotional or they exist in the physical reality. There are qualified people, and I always say the information is as reliable as the source. And it is very important that I say that because with the type of work that I do, when people are in a state of pain, vulnerability, they're feeling this crunch of a time-sensitive deadline, something needs to be done, they might not be thinking as calmly in a rational light that they will jump on any perceived solution because they want to get out of their existing condition. And the thing about conditions are they come and go and they're not permanent. The good thing is that they're not permanent. At the same time, all of these experiences lead us to become wiser if you say yes. Until next time, I know it was a lot of information and I jumped around. It was a topical overview of why are you so mad? And anger management does exist. And after speaking to people, I respect that it is a healthy channel for those who need to reach out and work on their emotions. I will leave you on that note. Have a blessed week. Be safe, be well, be blessed. If you have anything to share, go to sashatalks.com, click on the contact page, and I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much.